You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
AM 1218 here on Gold Hawk Fights Back for You. It is a very complicated area of law. I'm saying that as a mere mortal, but a guy who's far from a mere mortal, Les Kotzer, in fact, says the same thing. He's a wills and estates lawyer. Hi, Les.
Hi, Dale. How are you?
It is complicated, isn't it?
You're not kidding. And it's an area of law that, there's so many things that can go wrong, so many things that can happen. And you know, it's things that are unexpected. In June, I lost my baby brother, 53 years old.
Wow.
And, he ran a paint store. He was healthy. And just all of a sudden, boom, and he got sick. And I lost my best, one of my best friends in the world.
So. You never know, do you, Les?
Know.
No, no, that's true. And the whole point of this and the whole point of what you do for a living is to make sure that in those kinds of terrible situations, the proper documentation, paperwork, whatever, is already in place so that doesn't also become an issue during a time of mourning.
Absolutely. It's so important. And the thing that people have to recognize is that the order of death isn't as we always expect it to be.
Yeah.
Parents don't always die before their children. Unfortunately, I see a lot of tragedies where, 40-year-old people have passed away and their parents are burying them.
Yeah.
Quite often, these young people say, I want to make sure my parents have a will, but what about you? I
mean, yeah, exactly.
That sometimes I see 95-year-old people that are perfectly healthy, and, when I was visiting my brother in the hospital, there's a lot of 40s, 30s, and 50-year-olds that are really sick. And so we cannot assume that, it's just going to happen to grandpa. It can happen to grandson. And also, we have to be very careful, Dale, with these do-it-yourself homemade wills.
That was the next thing right on the tip of my mouth to say. And don't be getting a will kit and filling it out and thinking you're covered, right?
Well, because it's so complicated, Dale. Every life situation is unique. I had a person come into my office. I just started practicing again after the loss of my brother. So I hope the people who've tried to make appointments with me forgive me. I'm now taking appointments because I've been away for about a month. But, I had a woman come in who showed me her will. As I mentioned to you before, on the last show, I do free will reviews for all your listeners. People bring them. They come from all over, and they bring their wills in, and I look at them for them. And she says, "Is there anything wrong with my will?" And I said, "Tell me about your life situation." She said, "It's simple, Les. I just got married for the second time. I now have, my husband has three children. I have two children. I'm now married. So, I don't think anything's changed. I want everything, I said, "Well, wait a second, man.
Everything's changed, hasn't it?
You just told me you got married. When did you get married?" She said, "I got married in May." I said, "Your will is dated last year. Guess what? Marriage revoked your will.
It's gone.
Marriage automatically revokes a will. People don't know this.
Yeah.
Separation does not revoke your will. I have a lot of people who are separated who bring these wills in for will reviews, and one of the first things I see in their will, it says, I appoint my spouse as my executor, and I leave my spouse everything I own, and if he's not alive, then to my, or if she's not alive, then to my children."
Right,
I said, "Are you divorced or separated?" "Well, I'm separated." "Well, but you're not divorced. Guess what? If you die, your spouse will inherit your entire estate, because even though you're separated, you're still considered married in Ontario, even though you're separated." So these things must be addressed. Common law. There are so many common law couples out there who think they're protected, but they're not. Because under the law, if you die without a will, common law partners get absolutely nothing as terms of inheritance. They have to possibly go to court and argue dependent claim.
There's no safeguard there for common law couples at all, is there?
Common law, if you die without a will, and people are shocked when I tell them this. They say, "Les, we're common law. Of course we're protected." I say, "No, you're not. The house you live in is not your matrimonial property.
Right.
Your common law, that's not your matrimonial home. You're not considered married from the point of view of inheritance law. So be very careful."
Yeah. Okay, let's get to the phones and put Les to work here at 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740. And we have Norm on the line from Alliston. Norm, do you have a question for Les?
Yeah, I do. My brother's the executor, my two brothers. I was had the power when my mom was alive of looking after her. My brother had the power of looking after her money.
Yeah.
But now that she's passed away, the bank has forced us into going into probate court. And I was wondering why it is that banks are forcing people and there's no issues of going into probate court and spending extra money on this.
Well, probate basically is required by what we call the asset custodians. And in plain language, it's not the lawyers that are forcing the probate, it's the institutions, because they may be afraid. I would assume that your mother had her accounts in her name alone. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. They're assuming that, how do they know that the will that you are showing them is indeed mom's last will? You could have come to a lawyer, mom could have come to a lawyer the day after that will and left it all to a charity. So you're assuming, well, the bank's going to say, well, she left it all to us three kids. Why? What's the problem? But the bank's saying, well, what if she left it to a friend or a charity? And now they gave you the money, but now the bank has to give the charity the money because they come the next day for the money. So the bank is protecting themselves. That's why it's very important for people to plan properly. And one of the things that I do in my appointments when I do these free reviews is we talk about how you hold your assets. For example, you know, there are a lot of people out there that will name their estate the beneficiary of their life insurance policy, not thinking, well, that's my estate, that's my kids. Well, yeah, if you name your estate, there's going to be probate on that. If you name your wife, there's no probate on that, or your child. Same with RSPs. People say, well, Les, what's wrong with naming my estate? Doesn't my estate mean my will? Oh, yeah, it does, which means it's going to be probated, which means you're going to pay the government a tax. The other thing is, one of the other things people must realize, and we do a lot of this work, is that if you own a company, if mom, for example, owned a, let's say mom owned a variety store, or she owned a gas station, or she had a holding company owning real estate or whatever, you can make, see, if you have one will, like people often make a simple will, leaving everything to their spouse and then their kids. If you have one will, all of that gets put into the will, and you probate everything that the company is worth. We can do it. The law allows us to make a separate will for your company so that whatever that company has is not probated. So, for example, for listeners out there, if you have, let's say you have $2 million in a holding company or real estate you own in a company or whatever it may be, or you own a store or whatever it may be, and that's in a company like, you know, John Smith Limited or, you know, Golfing Equipment LTD, we can make a separate will for that company or your company so that when you die, there's no probate at all on the value of the shares of your company. I had a person come into my office who had a big company worth about $30 million, and he brought in a will kit. And he says to me, Les, what's wrong with this will kit? I'm leaving everything to my wife. I said, you own a company. Mm-hmm. And he says, yes, I have a company worth about $30 million. So, well, you're gonna, when you die, your estate's going to pay 1.5% on $30 million. You've got to make a separate will for your company. That way there's no probate tax on the company. So it's complicated stuff, but it can be avoided in many cases, in your mom's case.
So it could have been, but it can't always be avoided,
can it? It can be avoided with proper planning in many cases.
Yeah.
And in mom's
case, how long
case,
does this take to finalize, to before we finalize?
You know, my firm does a lot of work in probate. We do a lot of probate applications, and sometimes it depends on the court. Sometimes they take weeks, sometimes they take months. Mm-hmm. But you're going to be paying a tax. It's 1.5% on everything mom owned. You know, had mom put the accounts in joint names with you kids, then...
Well, my brother had signing
doesn't
authority
matter.
On...
That doesn't account. Matter. That doesn't matter. That's not the
joint,
same thing.
There'd be no probate.
Yeah.
So you've got to do proper planning. And this is what really bothers me, Dale, when people come into my office and they think, oh, we did proper planning. Well, no, you didn't. You know, the fact that you named your estate as your life insurance beneficiary means the insurance company pays that $3 million to your estate, not to your wife, and it's now frozen and the government takes 1.5% of it. So if you go to a proper lawyer that does wills and only does that area, I think you'll find, you know, they may know something about the planning that the average guy may not, or woman may not know, who sort of just dabbles in wills. You got to be very careful and be careful with do-it-yourself
planning. And the point is, to be clear here, for Norm's question and what you're saying as well, Les, if it goes to probate, right off the top, you're going to pay 1.5% of that amount to the government, plus... You're going to you may be paying legal fees.
Not maybe, you will be.
Legal fees. unless you got a brother-in-law who's a lawyer. But you know what I'm saying. You'd be paying maybe a lot of legal fees in order to be represented during the probate
That's
hearing.
That's right. And the fact is that it's 1.5% after the first $50,000. So I think to give you a break on the first 50.
Yeah.
But in so many cases, caller... and people listening out there, if you do it right and you plan properly and you sort of don't wing this thing and listen to your next-door neighbor who says, I heard from Bill, whatever, go to a proper lawyer that does this area of law and do proper planning. Many times when people come in to a person like myself, we can avoid the probate at totally when on a first marriage and we're on a marriage where your husband and wife are together. And even if with kids, one of the things I'm very leery of is putting assets in joint names with children. So I'm not here to promote, oh, you're 80 years old, put everything you own in joint names with your kids. Well, I'm not going to necessarily say that's the greatest thing to do, because in some cases the kids can, you know, hopefully not rip off mom. So I'm not an advocate of just putting everything
necessarily in the names of all the kids.
But, you know, I have to see the people. Everybody's an individual case, and I have to look at the, you know, talk to them and see the situation.
Norm, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Good luck with the probate. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Great job.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Here's Steve calling from Toronto. Steve, do you have a question for Les?
Yeah, how you doing, Dale?
Hi.
I got a question for your guest. I've got a Quebec will that my late father left. Do you look at those?
Well, I can tell you right now that I have to see the person who made the will. You can't bring your father's will, and I won't review it if your dad's not here.
Yeah.
But generally, wills made outside of Ontario, there are certain, like a clause in Ontario that we put into every will that's not usually in wills outside of Ontario, and that is a family law clause. So, for example, if you have a will from Quebec, it's unlikely that there's a clause that says that if you get divorced, your wife can't benefit from what your dad left you. We put that in an Ontario will. And many of the wills I review in Ontario, forget about Quebec, many of the wills in Ontario, whether they're will kits or some lawyer-prepared wills, don't even have that clause in an Ontario will. And that clause protects your children in case they get divorced, so your son-in-law is not running on the beach thanking you after you die for not putting that clause in your will, because if it's in there, he can't get a nickel.
But the bottom line would be, if a will is to be reviewed that was written in Quebec, it should be examined in Quebec,
that's
should
right.
it not, to be absolutely...
That was my question.
Yeah, I can't
tell you Quebec law. But if your assets are here, if the assets are in Ontario, you're better off having a will made in Ontario.
Yeah.
No. My father passed away in March, and we're now opening the will and settling his estate.
You'll settle it where his assets are, and that'll probably be Quebec.
That'll have to be in Quebec.
Yeah, so it's got to be looked at by a Quebec.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Thank you, Steve, very much
for
that.
Thank you.
Okay, we have people standing by, Les, with more questions, and before we get to that, here are the numbers. Make a note. The lines have one line open at the moment, 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Wills and Estates lawyer Les Kotzer is here answering your questions about those kinds of issues, legal issues. And here's Lorraine on the line from Ajax. Lorraine, do you have a question?
Yes. My boyfriend recently had to assume care of his elderly mother, and he knows, you know, she's not well. They're not sure if it's Parkinson's. They're waiting for an appointment. And the sister has basically washed her hands of everything, but he didn't realize that she didn't have, but there was never a power of attorney done up when they did the will. So how do you go about getting a power of attorney now with someone that you're not really sure is going to be well enough to do that?
Well, this is a big problem. Yeah. A lot of people, unfortunately, don't have the proper power of attorneys. There's two of them in Ontario that are extremely important, two of the most important documents you'll probably ever sign.
Right.
And just like your boyfriend's mom, when I see these people coming into my office, a lot of them do not have power of attorney. And they say, oh, it must be in my will. Well, it's not in your will. Power of attorneys are separate documents.
No, I was the one that pointed it out, that they needed to get this sorted out. Anyway.
Does she have capacity?
No, I don't think she does.
Because once you lose your capacity...
Someone said something about being certified to say that you're incapable?
Well, once you lose your capacity to make a power of attorney, there's different tests, one for the medical, one for the financial.
Yeah.
But once you lose your capacity, you couldn't pay $10 million to get a power of attorney. You now have to apply for the financial one, possibly to the government, and for the medical one, to a court for guardianship of the person.
Mm-hmm.
So you're... Now, under the law, under the Health Care Consent Act, your boyfriend's mother, you should speak to a doctor, but probably he has the authority without the power of attorney to deal with his mother under the law.
Right.
There is a hierarchy of people who can do that, but financially there's no hierarchy.
Right.
Financially, the government gets involved, generally freezes all the assets, and it can become,
But what you're saying, Les, is for practical purposes, the boyfriend may in fact be able to look after
medically.
His mom medically.
Medically, but then if there was anything to do with the finances,
then you got a problem.
The mother, she wants to sell her house.
Yeah, well, then you got an issue.
She wants to sell a house, and of course, and she wants to move into a little place.
Yeah.
And, but how do we go ahead and do this? And I'm saying I don't think that she's going to be able to understand any legalese or do anything about trying to sell her house.
If she hasn't got capacity, she can't sign a contract.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I offer to Dale's listeners, I have a lot of contacts in the legal world, and I have a close friend that does a lot of estate litigation, court applications regarding estate issues, and all these kind of custody, guardianship things for, adults, whatever. You can email me your coordinates and the story, and I will send it off to my friend who's an estate litigation lawyer and see if he'll take on the case. He doesn't do it for free, but he'll see if he'll take on your case because, it can become quite complicated and something you may want to speak to him about.
Otherwise, the Ontario government takes over.
Well, the fact is it takes one car accident basically for, a doctor in a psychiatric facility of a hospital to examine you and see that you're not competent. And once he finds that or she finds that, by law, they send a letter to the government certifying that, certificate of incapacity. And once the government gets that, you are basically, your financial affairs are being run by the Ontario government. And if there's power of attorney in place, then that person can say to the government, goodbye. But if there's no power of attorney in place, then you have a problem and somebody has to deal with making an application to replace the government. So,
well, let's hear that email address so that Lorraine can jot it down.
My website is familyfight.com.
Okay.
And when you go to familyfight.com, you can see my name on there and a link to my email. And if you have a problem, I'll give you the phone number. It's a number you can call if you anybody wants to make an appointment or will review or if they have to contact me. It's 1-877. It's toll-free, 1-877-439-3999. So it's 877-439-3999. And locally, for those in Thornhill, I'm at Young North of Steeles. It's Fish and Associates in Young North of Steeles. It's 905-881-1500. That's 905-881-1500. And you can go to familyfight.com and email me. But I can't promise I'll take the case, but this guy is a very, very good lawyer. And for a lot of those out there who need litigation, like estate fighting, all this kind of stuff, this is the guy. He's sort of like a bulldog. I also can refer people to family law lawyers as well if anybody's getting divorced or their kids need a prenuptial. I have a lot of contacts in different areas of law. Feel free to contact me if you need a lawyer, and I'll see if I can find it.
Lorraine, good luck in this, okay?
Thanks very much.
Thanks so much.
All right,
bye-bye.
That's a perfect example of why it's important in good times, stable times, to get all this paperwork into place.
Because Dale, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody takes for granted that they can sign their name on a document, okay? As I told this lady, you couldn't pay me $25 million to do a power of attorney for a person that hasn't got capacity.
Okay? Well, yeah.
Once it's too late, it's too late. And now you don't have that signature on the page anymore that allows you to act for that your mom or whoever financially. So you've got to do this right. And the problem, Dale, is I keep harping this, that I see on these reviews, I see so many power of attorneys that are done wrong, that aren't going to work. That, yes, you may have a document, but you're not going to know that it's not good until it has to be used.
Until you try to use it, yeah.
And I urge people to have these things reviewed, looked at, because it can be a minefield and a nightmare. And for those who don't have these documents, I also do free consultations where you can come in and sit with myself or my assistant and go through the issues you need to think about to avoid probate, to deal with these corporate wills if you have a corporation, to deal with, if you're in a second marriage or in a first marriage or all these different situations. You need to have these things address, so we do a free consult.
Okay, let's get some more questions on here. Here's Sharon from Niagara. Sharon, what's your question?
Thank you. My husband died about 8 years ago, and I have three children, and I have a new will made up, and I have out of my will, two of my three children must agree on any decision, since I only have one child that lives here in town. The other two are out of town.
Mm-hmm.
All my
bank
account.
Can I ask you, sorry, where do they live?
One is in Peterborough, okay. And one's in Smith Falls.
Okay.
Ah, okay, Ontario.
Three and five hours away.
That's good.
Okay. All my banking, everything I own that way is in my daughter's name and my name. The only thing I do not have in joint name of anybody is my house. Now, my idea, and my children know, that as long as I can stay in my house, I'm not that old yet, I'm 72, I will keep my house. But I will go into an apartment so that they do not have anything to sell. Now, should I put my house in my daughter's name again?
As I said before, I'm very leery of putting something, a major asset, into a child's name.
Well, I'm not concerned about that because I know she will not.
Well, let me explain a couple things. One is, you don't know if, well, you may know, but is she married?
No.
Okay. What if she gets married?
No.
Okay, well, I don't know that, but she have creditors?
No question, she can do more than most men.
Does she have creditors? What if
she doesn't own, she owns her own house.
Well, let's get to the major point here before we go through a list.
My point is that there's a risk. If she has her own house, you may be losing your capital gains exemption on your home because you're only allowed one home in a Canada, the principal residence. So there's a number of issues.
You mean, my house is in only my name.
Mm-hmm.
But my will is in for my three children.
Yeah, but there's issues when you put a child's name on because now she'll own her own home plus either half of yours or all of yours. So now she owns her own home plus another home. So now you've lost part of your capital gains exemption on your home. So there's a lot of issues that you have to address. And I would never go on radio and say, yeah, just put it in her name and you'll say probate. Well, you may not say probate because the law basically says that if you put it in her name with you, it doesn't belong to her. It belongs to all three kids, and it'll still be probated because the will leaves it to the three kids, even though she's on title. So it's more complicated than you may think it is.
Otherwise, just leave it as it is.
I would speak to your local lawyer.
And the way you have it right now where she's not named,
Well, it'll be probate, but I'd speak to your local lawyer before doing it.
Because I have a living will, and I have a power of attorney also.
Yeah. I'm a very conservative person, and I don't take risks in order to save taxes, because in law, I don't mean to sound rude here, but you cannot suck and blow at the same time, and something will have an effect on something else. So you've got to think long and hard before doing these things. And one of the things you've got to be very careful of as a senior, and I do a lot of work on prevention of elder abuse, financial elder abuse, is giving up control. If you give up control of an asset, you may never get it back. So be very careful.
Sharon, thank you.
It's just that it's in both our names.
Yeah, Sharon.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think checking with her local lawyer might be a very good idea. I think that's what you're saying as well.
Yep.
Okay. Suck and blow at the same time. I had a vacuum cleaner like that once. Yeah, okay. Here's William calling from Cambridge. William, do you have a question?
Yes. My wife and I are both seniors. We are the only people that live in this country. Our son lives in the States. And we've been told that when something happens to both of us and our home has to be sold, our son has to come up with anything from $100,000 to $300,000 before he can come in to claim the state. Is that correct?
Well, who said your house has to be sold?
Pardon me?
Who told you your house has to be sold?
No, I'm saying when...
When you're both gone.
Who told you your house has to be sold when you're both gone?
Well, it's obvious it will have to be sold, isn't it?
Well, he may keep it.
Pardon me?
He may decide to rent it out.
Oh, yes, I have thought of that. Yeah, but what if he does want to sell it?
Well, put it this way. Is he the only child?
Yes, he is.
And is he going to inherit everything you own?
Yes.
Okay. What they're really talking about is when you have an American resident as an executor or anybody outside of the British Commonwealth, see, if you have somebody living in Buffalo, there's a problem. But if you have somebody living in London, England, it's not a problem because it's British Commonwealth.
Yeah.
Then the executor will have to post a bond to become your executor.
Now, he lives in Washington.
Well, but the point is, if he lives in the States, he would have to post a bond. But my concern is my issue is he's the only beneficiary, and he'd probably be asked the court to waive the bond. Because the bond is meant to protect beneficiaries so that nobody runs away with the money. But if he's the only one, I mean, in my mind, I would think a court would say, it's for you. Why would we make you post a bond to act? So I would speak to your local lawyer about that, but I'm not overly concerned. I think I'd be more concerned if your son was not the only beneficiary and you had other ones that Ontario courts want to protect. But in this case, he's the only beneficiary.
What does the bond amount to, generally speaking?
Is sometimes it can be double the value of the estate. I mean,
that's what I'm
expensive,
thinking.
And not everybody can get a bond.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm not overly concerned in this case because he's the only one, but I definitely would speak to the lawyer or speak to the court. Call up the court and find out what they're the ones that are going to, enforce this bond. Ask them if he's the only beneficiary. Would he be forced to post a bond?
Wouldn't seem to make sense, would it?
Doesn't make sense to me.
William, thank you very much. Good luck with that. Here is, all right. Here is. I'll get used to this radio thing again. You just. I've been away for 2 weeks, Les. I'm kind of rusty here. Here are the numbers, 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740 if you have a question for Les Kotzer.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Les Kotzer is here answering your questions about wills and estates issues. And let's hear from Gilbert calling from Oshawa. Gilbert, what's your question?
I would like to know, my wife and I have gone to a lawyer and got our will made out. And we've left everything to each other. But she has some credit cards. Am I going to be responsible for those credit cards where my name is not on them?
That's more of a debtor-creditor issue. I don't do that area, so I'm not really the right guy to ask about that. But if your name's not on them, I would think, I don't want to make any comments, but that's a very good question. I don't know.
Well, Laurie Campbell, our regular contributor from Credit Canada, would say if your name is not on the credit card, essentially, you are not responsible for the debt.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks very much,
Gilbert. I mean, there are always ways to argue the counter, but Laurie would certainly say that. Here's John on the line. John, you have a question for Les.
Hello, how are you this afternoon?
Well, we're great. We're
good, good. It's actually more a question about disputing a will.
Mm-hmm.
A number of years ago, late 90s, my father just passed away at the end of May and had me remarried in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And in the late 90s, he had prepared a will where my brother and I were the co-executors.
That's after he got married?
About a few years after.
Okay.
And I believe there was a prenup with his new wife at the time. Now, he was unfortunately experiencing some dementia and or Alzheimer's in the last couple of years.
When you say the last couple of years, you mean when he made the will? When did he pass away?
Well, he passed away just May of this year.
Would
have been early 80s.
So you're saying the will was 1990s vintage?
1998, it was original one. Okay. And then in 2010, it was changed.
Okay.
But now there's questions of, now my brother and I are no longer in it. Now his wife is the sole executor.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, when I asked the lawyer post-funeral, obviously I didn't want to get involved at the time. She says, well, whatever you've gotten over your lifetime, you've already gotten and whatnot. So we seem to be out of it. But there's a question of what was his testamentary capacity and or if there was undue influence.
Do you have evidence that he was didn't have capacity? You have medical evidence?
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out. Unfortunately, the family doctor, his wife had passed away, and he pretty well closed up shop, and it's tough to get actual evidence.
What about some of the best evidence maybe from people he knew?
Well, that's the thing. I'm hearing stories of his, even going back a few years, he was always lost, and this is in Ontario as well.
Here, it's Ontario. What I want you to do is, a lot. As I said, there's a lot of these kind of cases, and sometimes there are claims. I mean, you can attack a will based on undue influence. You can attack a will based on lack of capacity. You can't attack a will because it's, quote, not fair that I'm not in there, but, you may be dependent. I don't know. So the issue is email me, and I will forward it to email me a paragraph. Anybody out there, please, nothing more than a paragraph because my friend will not read more than a paragraph. Tell me the situation. Tell me why you think you have a claim, and I will forward it off to my estate litigation buddy, and hopefully he'll get back. You know, if he sees something, he'll get back to you.
Right.
But sometimes there are issues. Now, it really depends on how much Dad had when he passed. I mean, if Dad had $10,000 in his estate, then it's not worth it. But if Dad had, money up in hundreds or whatever, hundreds of thousands, sometimes, it's worth it, and sometimes the other side will settle just to get rid of you. So there are issues that, you know, it, sometimes it's worth to see this estate litigation lawyer to see if you have a claim. Same with spouses. If you're a spouse and you're cut out of a will, please contact me. If you're a child under the age of 21 and you're cut out of a will by your parents, please contact me. These people have claims. There's rights. People who, you know, who are, so you have... So, you know, these are issues that must be addressed, and you can contact me, and I'll send it off to my friend.
Yeah, it's not a matter of just sour grapes. The fact that we were mentioned originally, and then there seems to be, okay,
well,
it was his capacity.
It's not the original issue. It's the fact that Dad had no capacity.
Yeah.
And you're telling me, so, you know, if a person can pretty well do what they want, when, you know, but if the person didn't have capacity, or if they're being pushed into something, a gun put to their head, proverbial gun put to their head,
right,
then contact me.
John, thank you very much for that question. Let's hear from Maria in Toronto. Maria, what would you like to ask, Les?
Yes, I would like to ask a question about their house. Is it their house will be up to probate after, you know, like even though it's a main...
If it's in one name, it'll be probated. Are you married?
Well, I'm a widow now.
Yeah, if it's in one name, it'll be probated. If a husband and wife, you know, put it in both names, I know you're not married, but if you were married, you would put it in both names with you and your husband, there wouldn't be probate. So these are things that really
so
have
the house
to be,
is not excluded from probate?
No. It is probate if it's in one name.
If it's in one name, it's guaranteed to be probated,
right.
Is it not?
Yeah. And we're talking house or condo. It doesn't matter. Or cottage.
Yeah.
So these are things that have to be talked about, and you know, see somebody who can help you, and your, you know, local lawyer who does wills. Make sure to that your audience see a wills and estate lawyer. Not every lawyer does wills and estates. Particularly, all I do is wills and estates. I do nothing else. You can call me for family law. I don't do it. You can call me for criminal. I don't do it.
Yeah.
I only do wills and estates. Go to a wills and estates lawyer. Do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks very much for that, Maria. Here's Dominic on the line. Dominic, what's your question?
My question is, Dale, when you have two executors of an estate and you have a problem with one or the other, like there is no agreement, what is the next step?
Next step, maybe going to court to have,
yeah,
to ask to remove one of them or whatever. So, I mean, again, that's where my estate litigation friend comes in. That's the kind of stuff he does. So if you're looking to... It's not easy to remove an executor, by the way. The courts, you know, you have to... The executor has to be pretty bad before the court will remove him.
But it points up the potential difficulties of having two executors.
That's right. And that's why I like to put a tiebreaker in, and maybe just appoint one. Or maybe, you
yeah,
know, appoint...
One or three.
Else.
Yeah.
So how can we convince this woman to omit one, is my mother, and just have one?
Well, I can't tell you to convince anybody. Your mother has to see a lawyer and talk to the lawyer.
Yeah, well, she did, and apparently, you know, she just wants two executors, and I don't foresee any problems with myself and my sister, but, you know, there's always that potential of a conflict.
Of course. And
well,
I'm
sure.
It worries me that I would have to take my sister to court.
Well, sometimes it's not...
Well, that might happen.
It might happen, but remember, parents out there, sometimes it's not your children that are going to create the fighting. Sometimes it's their spouses. Sometimes it's the spouses that poison your child against your other child. So be very careful about who you're appointing. I had a woman come in, and she appointed her son-in-law as her executor. And I said to her...
Her son-in-law?
Why would
wow.
you do that? She said, well, because he's a great guy. So would he be a great guy if you divorced your daughter after you die? Would you really want him to be your executor? No, no way. Well, you got to think about these things.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that, you know...
Well, Dominic, hopefully you're one of the executors. Let's hope you can get along with your sister in these issues.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, okay, Dominic. Thanks. I mean, all of these things are subjected to a certain amount of human frailty, aren't they, Les?
Yes,
I
they
mean,
are.
Fair to say.
That's right.
All right, let's take one last question from Joan in Collingwood. Joan, what's your question?
Hi, I have a quick question.
Yeah.
A person who's living common law, does not own any property, does not have any children, but has a small amount of cash assets. Do they need a will?
Why wouldn't they need a will?
Yeah.
Who's going to be the executor? Who's going to look after all this stuff?
Okay, that's what I thought. And also, too, the other question, the short question is, like, will it still would have to go to probate even though there's no property?
If it's in one name alone, it'll go to probate.
It will go to if it's yep. one. You mean one?
If he
one
owns
inheritor?
It, if he no, if he owns it and it's his on death, what probate means is you have to apply to a court and specify what you own that what that deceased owned on the date of death.
Okay.
And you have to swear an affidavit as executor. So you've got to do it right, and you've got to pay the tax.
Yeah. I see. All right, that's my question. Thank
thanks
you
very much, Joan.
Thank you.
All right, and in answer to the question, Les. Do I need a will? Everybody needs a will.
Well, everybody
right?
over the age of 18 needs a will.
Yeah, well, okay, fine. All right.
I'm a lawyer.
Okay, Les, be a lawyer okay. if you want to. All right. But the point is, and I often hear this when I talk to people about the show, that I don't know, some people have the notion, well, gee, it's kind of morbid to talk about these things. I just think it's common sense.
You have to have it. These three documents, the will, and the power of attorney, the two of them, are really three of the most important documents you will ever sign the rest of your life. I'm telling you that from my heart.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that from experience. I see the mess that's left by these families that die without a will, the families that are ripped apart. You know, Dale, I wrote three books. One, The Family Fight. Second, The Family War. And the third one is all stories called Where There's an Inheritance. If they go to familyfight.com, they can see excerpts from them and read about them if they want to order them. But I've written books on these topics. I've been on CNN. I've been all over North America on these shows, and I love being on your show. But people still ask me the same question. Why do I need these documents? Well, you need them because death is going to happen.
Yeah.
Power of attorney, you need. You make
no
it.
Lawyer can get you out of death,
that's
I don't
right.
think. No,
it's
that's for
so
sure.
So important.
Yeah.
You know, if you read some of the stories on the website, familyfight.com, people email us stories. Just read some of those stories that people have sent us about how their families have been destroyed. So, and that's why, as I say, I do the free will reviews. I do the free will consultations. I try to make us accessible to the public to help people so that they do it right and don't leave a mess for your kids.
Les, thanks very much for being with us. Our thoughts go out to you and your family
thank
in
you.
These
God
tough
bless
times.
Everyone out there.
Okay, bye
take
for
care,
now.
Bye-bye.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.